here and a new organization, and we're going to talk to them right after this break. It's Monday morning. Good morning. This is Carl and Linda on KCNR 1460. Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. Good morning. It's 44 degrees. The time is 7:24. In the station with us this morning, right now, live, and I know they're thinking, are we really? We're talking about the Women's Phone with Ann Peterson and Judy Salters. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, we're going to get you right in front of those mics.
Yeah, we're moving up a little bit.
There we go. All right, so this is something that the Women's Fund has existed in other areas, but a group of very special women got together and decided that you were going to start a Reading branch, but in your own way. Tell us about the Women's Fund. Ann.
Well, the Women's Fund has been in operation here in Reading for 2 years. 18 months of that, we were under the radar because there's an awful lot to, putting together a Women's Fund, a lot of infrastructure that has to be in place, a lot of decisions that have to be made. So we've been very busy, and as part of that process, we looked at other Women's Funds, and we said, would that fit in Reading? That particular aspect of it, and some of it would and some of it wouldn't. So what we've come up with is something we think is uniquely suited for Reading, and that is a fund that has two components to it. One is a program fund, which supports grant making, and what we're doing is we're pooling our money. So instead of writing a small check to your favorite nonprofit, we're able to write a substantial check. And our members vote on a focus area, so they're involved in the direction of, you know, where the money goes. The other fund we're supporting is an endowment fund, so that we're looking down the road and hopefully be able to use the interest from that to supplement our program fund. And in addition to the grant making, we're also supporting some community forums so that people can become more involved in the issues affecting women and families in this area.
You have a forum coming up in February at the library. Is that correct?
Yes. This is going to be a wonderful forum. The subject is raising girls with self-esteem. You are what you think you are. You know, it's really startling at what stage a young girl defines her capacity, both intellectually and emotionally, based on what she's hearing in the environment. You know the old statistics about girls are great in math and science until teenage years, and then they drop off, kind of with social pressure to be something other than what they really are inside. So we're kind of going to take a look at what those messages are that young girls hear and how we can support young girls to really fulfill their capacity, both intellectually and emotionally, and how that sets their career direction.
That's going to be at the library. What's the date and time?
It's February 9th at noon to 1:15, and we're pretty darn fast about it. So we want everybody to be able to come, get in and out, and go back to work. And if you're interested, you can also pre-order a $5 bag lunch. So if it's your lunch hour and you want to come, it's great. We've had tremendous response to these forums. 100 to 150 plus women and men coming to these forums. And one of the other major important things about a Women's Fund is it really does help build community. We all get together and we inform ourselves on these issues which are facing us. You know, frankly, a lot of us, the underbelly of Reading is hidden from us. We don't really know that almost 15% of the births in Reading are to teenage mothers. We don't know that 45% of the families live below the poverty level. We don't realize that most low-income families are headed by women. And so what we're trying to do is better understand these issues that are facing women and families in Reading and Shasta County, and by that grow awareness ourselves on how to address these problems. And then the funding side of it is that we will collaboratively and cooperatively make grants to existing nonprofit agencies who directly deal with these issues that are facing women and families.
Now, I know that you had some cottage gatherings, as you called them, and I was able and honored to attend one, and I am going to become a member. Lori Goyne, who's a friend of mine, who's also been in the, what do you call the first part of structuring this, the Women's Fund, is that
the
correct?
The cabinet.
The cabinet. Mm-hmm. I remember we were on our way to Anselmo Vineyards, and in the back seat, she pulled a paper out. She was so excited, very much like you, a passion for what you guys are doing. How does one go about attending a cottage gathering or an informational gathering so that they can hear about in depth and meet the women in charge?
You bet. The probably the best way is to contact the Shasta Regional Community Foundation. We're a field of interest fund within the within that foundation. Their website is www.shastarcf.org, and that's also the place to RSVP for the forums. But if you have their phone number, there is 244-1219. So if you just simply call, contact them, they'll take your name and number, and then we will get in touch with you. The cottage parties are, in fact, the best way to learn about the Women's Fund because there's a lot of pieces to it. And like you say, we're all passionate about it. We all have our little sort of piece that we like to talk about. So it's the best way for the public to learn about it.
It'd be real easy as well if you can work it in your schedule to come to the February 9th forum. Make sure one of us gets your name, and we'll be sure to add you to a list. We are going to be starting sort of the general membership drive now. We've been holding the cottage parties to kind of gauge the level of interest. And as you well know from the one you attended at my house, it's been overwhelming. We started out as 10 women, and now we're
58
women, and we've raised over $50,000 so far. So it's really been interesting. Women now are interested in the concept of coming together in a philanthropic way. You know, we've always been the one who run the art fairs or the PTAs or do things like that. So this is a different way of getting together.
We're going to have to take a quick break here, and we can continue this when we come back. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our website's KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor and tobacco emporium in the North State. And then, you know what, with this type of weather, you just go over to Espresso Joe's. You want a special kind of coffee? You want that special latte? Drop the soy, no foam, and just a hint of vanilla? They can do it. I would never do it. It's not manly enough.
Is that sissy coffee?
But you can do it. And we've got, you know, the ladies in here, they would, you know, they're all going, yeah, thumbs up. Not only that, Joe and Shelley also have another a store there that they have fixed up so you can do Wi-Fi, drink your coffee in there, have your meetings in there. Joe and Shelley, Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. So much more than just a place for tobacco.
Our guests today are Judy Salters and, of course, Ann Peterson. It's 7:35 in the morning, Ann.
Yeah, I know.
I'm doing my best every day. I get up at 5:15 and I come in here and I'm just trying to be like, oh, with it.
You're trying to be perky, aren't you?
I'm with it. Anyway, Ann and Judy, we were talking at the break about something that for me personally that struck a chord where I could really get into something that was a specific thing that you do. That you have done. And let's talk about the situation with, like, say, a woman goes in for a job. She's got it together. She's really working hard. But she doesn't she might not have been in the situation where she can afford to take care of her dental care, her teeth. This is something that was, yeah, go ahead. Try to tell our listeners, because I'm tongue-tied here.
Yeah.
It does happen now.
Only
and
the
then.
Women's Fund would get us up at this
yeah.
hour.
Yeah.
That and true love for Linda and Carl for putting the station together. You know, there are so many obstacles to employment for women, and you're talking about one of them right now, where there's dental care in Shasta County is a huge issue, and more studies have shown that dental care totally relates to overall body health and can have major impact even on heart issues as you grow older. So this is one of the issues of that we're going to be focusing on. One of the possible issues that we're going to be focusing on is obstacles to employment for women. And the women and all the members of the Women's Fund will actually get to vote on the three priorities on where our granting is going to be. That's an advantage of becoming part of becoming a member. So that the three issues that we are going to be looking at for this year, and the members are going to be voting on, are gaining skills for economic independence, developing healthy lifestyles, and breaking cycles of poverty. So when you become a member, you actually rank these priorities, and based on what the members vote, we will do grant making into that area. And so that's why it's through the Women's Fund, you're really going to be participating in making the financial distribution decisions. We'll then have a grants committee, which will solicit proposals from existing nonprofits who are actually doing work in the selected area. So in other words, we're not going to be funding animal protection, nothing political, those sorts of things. We're really going to be funding those organizations which directly and clearly focus on issues affecting women and their families. There have been some remarkable projects that Women's Funds have done around the United States. One of them actually was in the upper Midwest was giving support to a dental clinic for women, recognizing that it was an obstacle. There are issues of child care. There's issues of clothing. There are retraining and education needs. In our community, there are language barriers. So there, you know, there's a whole wide array of issues facing women and families in Shasta County, and that's what we want to be looking at.
Judy mentioned this process that we're going to be following. With the members prioritizing those three areas she mentioned. And I'd just like to add that that process is going to begin here in a couple of weeks. So people that are thinking about joining the Women's Fund, now's the time. We will be doing that in March and cutting that off in April so that the nonprofits then have a chance to put together their proposals based on the issue that comes out on top.
Great. We're talking about the Women's Fund. Give the website one more time or a contact number, and we have to take a break. But thank you, ladies, for joining us this morning and talking about the Women's Fund. So worthy of a fund for all of us to get together as women and empower, help those other women that need our support. Again, where do we go?
www.shastarcf.org, 244-1219.
And then, of course, we'll find out when the show or when the meeting is in March. And again, we'll hopefully have the speaker on February 9th before the library, before the Women's Fund meeting that day. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Linda.
This is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. When we come back, we're going to put our spotlight on our Reading Small Business.
Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Well, I'll tell you something. It's Monday morning, and Bob's looking at me with his finger like, you're on. We're still saying goodbye to our guests out there in the lobby. And, well, I don't know about you, but I love steak and eggs, which is a great segue for our next guest.
Our next guest. This is where we put spotlight on our small business in town. And our guest is Charlie LaForte.
Hi.
From R&R Meats.
Yay! Good morning, Charlie.
Thank you.
So, Charlie, you know, I didn't know Charlie till I met him this morning, but we have been a customer of yours is I guess the best way of putting it for the last couple of years, and it turns out that Charlie has been involved with R&R Meats for how long?
Well, almost 35 years now. I started as a cleanup boy when I was in high school, back in 1976. And worked my way up.
I was in high school then, too.
I had a girl.
So you started as a cleanup boy.
Yes.
And working a few hours a week. Mm-hmm. And then what made you decide to stay in this?
Well, I've always liked the food industry. I grew up, my parents owned a pizza restaurant back in the early 70s, and I worked along with them there and always was interested in the food part of it. But I went to work for R&R because I needed a job, and they had one for me, and I kind of fell in love with the business right from the start, and there was always, seemed to be opportunity for me to advance over the years. And those, as those opportunities came up, I took advantage of them.
Well, in the, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Charlie. I mean, go ahead, Carl.
She calls me Charlie sometimes.
That's great.
It's in the 35 years, what changes have you seen? I mean, have there been, I know there's been like gradual changes, but has there been any like huge changes that you can see in the industry?
Well, we're an old-fashioned style meat store, and we've tried to keep it that way. So there, as far as changes in the meat industry that I've seen is, there's been a lot, especially over the last 20 years, concerning food safety, which has been a big push by the USDA to make sure that everyone, you know, all the meats and poultry and pork that we consume are safe and healthy. And together with different meat with the meat industry working along with USDA, you know, I'm happy to say that I think that United States meat is probably the safest in the world.
Fabulous. How many people does R&R employ?
Right now, we're currently at 30 people. We have a retail location and a wholesale location. We have about 15 people at each location.
Well, we have to, you know, personally tell you our testimony was that any time that we've walked into R&R, the help is tremendous. What do you need? How do you need it? You know, it's wrapped. It's like the old fashioned days, like you said. We kind of are old fashioned butcher. Is that what you mean when you say we've stayed in an old fashioned kind of way?
Yeah, I feel that customer service is something unique that we offer, and I've been blessed with just some wonderful employees. I mean, they come into work and they're laughing and having a good time, and that, you know, that's the kind of atmosphere I like, is you know, where people can enjoy coming to work, and you know, it shows every day. They interact with the customers. They've all learned their trade. They know, you know, they're really smart about meat, how to cook it, how to prepare it.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
Hey, let's go to the phones here. Roadrunner, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl and Linda, and good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Charlie, you won't know me by the name of Roadrunner, but you'll know who I am after I give my little testimonial for you here. My wife and I have been customers of R&R for about 7 or 8 years now. But when we first moved up here from the Bay Area, we stayed away or didn't go there because we figured that surely the meats must be more expensive. Well, it turns out they really aren't, and the quality is far better than what you get at Raley's or any of the local grocery chains. The service is exceptional, and you run your business the way a business really should be run. But you go above and beyond the call of duty, and this is what I really wanted to call you about. Last May, Charlie, or actually before last May, but last May, the Missing in America Project rode across country carrying 3 highly decorated veterans to Arlington. In an effort to raise funds, we put on several barbecues, and I wanted to thank you for stepping forward and providing the meats for that at a very, very reasonable price to help support our group and our efforts. So I don't know if you got thanked enough for that, but I wanted to thank you again, and I was the fellow that you dealt with when we set that all up. So thanks, Charlie.
Well, thank you, and it's always a pleasure to help out different functions and organizations around the town. You know, the business has been successful, so we've been able to do that, and we like giving back to the community. So I appreciate your thanks very much.
Well, I have a question.
Thanks
Thank you
lot.
So much,
Roadrunner.
Hey, you're welcome. Take care.
Hey, you have a beautiful Monday. People think about how a cow is butchered. Where do you butcher your cows?
Well, we buy beef from all over the Western United States. We do a lot with Harris Ranch Beef Company, Washington Beef Company, and Swift Meat Company are our three main beef suppliers. Now, they do all the butchering there. When we get the meat, it's basically broke down in what they call primals, and then we do the further processing from there. And that's kind of a way that the industry has gone over the last 30 years. When I started there, we used to break about 30 head of beef every week. And over time, we've gone away from carcass beef because there's just not a lot of suppliers for it. And you're kind of just stuck with all these cuts that you have to sell. You don't have very many options. So in buying the meat in what they call box form, you're able to get more of the cuts that you need. And it gives a better value to the customer that way.
And then you can cut it the way that your customer wants. So you don't have you don't have all the waste there.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Charlie, I like to talk about, you know, the big push now is for where it used to be you want marbling or fat in the beef, and now you want less and less. And if you're seeing a trend in that, other trends you may be seeing with the organic or free-range in beef. Mm-hmm. Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest for Small Business of the Week is Charlie LaFort from R&R Meats. All right, leaner beef, free-ranging beef, are you seeing that?
Oh, absolutely. Probably about 10 years ago, we saw that the USDA actually, trying to make beef healthier, actually lowered the standards on beef. They were trying to get rid of a lot of the marbling to make a healthier meat.
Now, the marbling is the fat that's within the beef, and it used to be the higher the fat content, the higher the grade it would be.
Absolutely.
And so what they did was they dropped that grade down so you could have less fat in that healthier beef.
That's what they're trying to do.
Okay.
But as you lose that marbling, you also lose some tenderness and flavor. So, I mean, leaner beef is available out there, but we find that most of our customers like something that has more marbling to it. That's why we deal mostly in choice beef and also some prime beef. I think it makes a much better steak, and customers enjoy it. You know, it's a tender, flavorful piece of meat.
There's a definite difference between a grass-fed range cow, mm-hmm, and one that's been fed in a yard there. We've got a phone call here. Let's go to the phones. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Linda, how are you this morning?
We're wonderful. Fine. Thanks, John, for your call.
Oh, you're welcome. And, Charlie, I'd like to ask you a couple questions if I could.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to endorse your operation there, your storefront. R&R is a fantastic place. I get my corned beef there for St. Paddy's Day every year, and it's seasoned, and it's special, and it's great, and I thank you for that. Now, I have a question that's just, it's been on my mind a long time. I see a lot of different meat displays in different grocery stores, your store, and everywhere else. And I can't help but ask myself, when the shelf life runs out, what happens to the meat?
Well, that's what makes the business a little bit tougher. I mean, normally, our meat sells fast enough, so we don't have that problem. But occasionally, yes, we have a piece of meat that becomes unsellable. You know, it's just it's turned dark or for whatever reason. So, you know, we eat a lot of that ourselves. You know, that's the steaks I take home. That's the steak, you know, I give them to my employees or sell them
to
them.
Your bonus plan.
Exactly.
Maybe we can get on that list.
Yeah, you should.
Well, you know,
it's interesting, uh-huh, because when I was over in Europe, and particularly in Germany, I would see that they have a different type of butcher store there, and a lot of it don't have aged beef, where
right,
the beef is hanging on hooks in the front window.
Right.
And they cut the bad parts of it off and sell it at a premium price. I've never seen that in America. I think it's against the law here. But when I go to some of the stores, and I've got one in mind, but I don't want to come up with what it is, and they have these really beautiful cuts of meat. They're enormous. They're extremely expensive. And they're showcased. And I know, I've watched, this meat does not turn. I mean, I'm not meaning turn in regards to condition. I mean in regards to sale, it doesn't turn over. And I can't help but wonder what they do with these most expensive cuts. And I don't even think they have enough employees to give it away to. And I was just wondering if there was some institutional method of distributing it, or whether they grind it up, or what they do with it. And thank you for your answer.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, John.
You know, yes, some meats do go to the grinder. But, you know, it's hard to say. I don't know much about other people's business and how they handle their meats. So it's a, you know, there's nothing wrong with aged meat. A lot of times it loses its eye appeal. The public wants a nice red cut of meat. But, you know, when it starts to turn dark, that's when it's best. But I would assume that they would probably discount it or something to try and move it. You see that a lot in the grocery stores. They'll have a section there that, you know, they put stickers on them, you know, $5 off or whatever to move it out. So that's probably the option they're using.
You know, usually we have more time to talk to our guests, but we have people calling in saying what a great place you have, which,
yeah,
by the way, we agree with, yeah, 100%.
You know, will you stick around just a little bit after the news, because I'm sure we have some more questions. We've got to take a break in a few minutes here. But we are on, our guest today is Charlie Lafort, from R&R Meats, and you might not know this, but Carl's father worked for years for Swift & Company, and Carl put himself through college in a slaughterhouse.
Oh, wow.
So he knows
working on the kill floors.
What,
yeah,
goes where and where it comes from. What's your favorite? If you had to pick one piece of steak or a cut, what's it for you?
A ribeye, without a doubt. Ribeye, prime rib, is, you know, that just has a excellent flavor. It's a well-marbled piece of meat. It's probably not the most healthiest piece of meat for you, but it's definitely my favorite.
Mine's filet mignon.
Oh, okay. That's,
I don't know why, but, you know, I just,
that's,
can't,
a much leaner cut, but it's a very tender cut. It's got a great flavor as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see Charlie if you have never met Charlie. Charlie is not an old guy. I mean, he says he's been in the business for 35 years. You did start when you were in high school.
Yes, I did.
Well, when we come back, we have to take a break here, and we'll finish up on the other side about what you see as the future here. I want to talk about small businesses and how, what a backbone of this community they are, and how we need to support our small businesses, that they can get as good a deal, if not better, coming, yes, to a local merchant than going to a big box store. Anyway,
take a break
and
here.
And then we're going to come back. We have a representative to talk about the upcoming concert for the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. And we're going to talk about, is there deals going on at City Hall that maybe we all should know about? Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bot. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our website, kcnr1460.com. Our guest today, Charlie Lafort, R&R Meats. We're gonna finish up this interview because Charlie's got a real job and needs to get back. Charlie, small businesses. Let's talk small business because that's the idea behind this. What do you see the value of small businesses in this town? What can they do for you?
Well, Reading is fortunate to have a lot of small businesses. I think in the small businesses, they seem to cater better to the community and their customers. You know, they create jobs in the area, and also the money spent in these small businesses is recirculated around this town. It goes a long way to helping the community. The small businesses, most of the small businesses in town, you know, support a lot of the other activities that the area has, and, you know, that's big to a community.
The community activities and charities and veterans organizations, I know R&R Meats, I know other businesses do this because it is part of our community. And when you pay your employees here and you make the money here, the money stays here. It's something like 80% of the money made in a local business, small business of Reading stays here, where only 40% in a big box store or a chain stays here. It usually, you know, it has to go on up the line there so the people in the corporate levels can have those trips to Jamaica during the winter.
Right.
Okay, well, it's true. That's why we back the small businesses, and that's why every week we're going to have another small business here so we can get people to know.
And R&R Meats, you've been so generous. I've emceed the Turtle Bay, all the different things that Carl and I have been involved with, Red Cross, Salvation Army, so many things. R&R Meats is always present with some kind of donation, and we thank you for that. Now, I want to talk to you about one of my favorite things, and that's bacon.
Uh-huh.
And where do you get your bacon?
Well, our bacon is actually made for us. It comes from a small packing house in eastern Oregon. It's called Hill Meat Company, and they do a wonderful job for us. They make us a nice, thick sliced bacon, and they use a real applewood smoke on it, so it comes out with just a nice, smoky, sweet flavor. And I think it's the best bacon around, and I hear that from other people all the time as well.
And I think you said at the break that every butcher house should have a really good bacon.
They should have the best, yes.
Part of the deal.
They should have things that people know you from. Well, Charlie Lafort, R&R Meats, thank you so much for being here today. Again, we really enjoy this spotlighting our local businesses so that we can let other people know what's going on there. The other thing, too, is that, we use your services, and so that's one of the reasons that's easy to have somebody on, is because we can just say, hey, yeah, you know what, it's true. You know, so a lot of times you get a lot of hype.
Yeah.
And so we try to be selective.
So R&R Meats, shop local. Keep it local, folks. That's what we're all about. We're locally owned, and we are so about getting behind the community.
And what now, your address?
2105 East Street. We're on the corner of East and Locust. We're located just a block north from Buzz's Crab Stand.
There you go.
Another local.
Another great local.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Great story
okay.
there.
Hey, Charlie, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Carl and Linda. Very nice to meet you, and it's been a pleasure.
Okay, when we come back, we've got another public announcement here of interest of varying amounts, and then we're going to be jumping into Stillwater with both feet. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. And welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Phone lines here, 605-4567. Portions of the show are brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Man's last stronghold. It is not a stylist place. This is a place to get your hair cut. They have men's magazines there like Hunting and Fishing, Shooting, and National Geographic. They've got animals on the wall, and on the TV will be things like NASCAR. You will not find hair gel there. No. Nema. DC Tim and a mysterious hair cutter. They'll cut your hair the way you want it, and they shave around your ears.
What, you mean no Project Runway?
No Project Runway. This is a hair cutting place. It is a barber shop. It's where I go. Get my hair cut. That's a Cypress Square Barbershop across from Subway's, Man's Last Stronghold.
Hey, I'm not sure if you guys got a chance this weekend, but do this week. Go to our website, kcnr1460.com, and fill out the form where you could win a love seat from Kubler's. Fabulous love seat. Or go in to Kubler's Furniture off of Churn Creek and check it out. They'll show you exactly you can feel it, you can sit in it, you can look at it, and then fill out the form, and we're going to be doing a drawing on the 12th, where maybe that weekend you'll be the lucky winner, and you can take home a beautiful love seat for your sweetheart.
You just go on there and click on contest, put your name and your email and a phone number, and don't worry, it's not being sold to anybody. Nobody gets it. We're just using this so that when you win, we can get a hold of you that day.
Shasta County Arts Council. Ta-da-da-da-da-da. Very excited to have our Shasta County Cultural Coordinator, Frank Treadway, with us this morning. Good morning, Frank.
Well, good morning to both of you.
Now, we have something that is really shaking it up here in Shasta County, something that's unique and new to this area, as far as an upcoming concert happening the 30th. Now, we've seen the special commercials on Channel 7, but right now, live on the radio, we're going to talk all about the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus that's coming on their Freedom Tour, and this is their first stop?
It is, Redding, California.
Well, if someone buys tickets for this event, tell us what one can expect.
Well, this is going to be a historic evening for everyone here in the area. We have people coming from Ashland, Oregon, Modoc County. I think we're going to sell out the 999 seats at the Cascade Theater, the 1935 historic refurbished Cascade Theater. And they can get tickets at www.cascadetheater.org online, or they can call the ticket office there at the Cascade.
Now, you've been instrumental in bringing San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus to Reading.
Mm-hmm. I have. We've been working for over 3 months on this project, and I'm ready to collapse, quite frankly. And so I've got to hold up through the weekend here, because Saturday, over 100 of the chorus members, there's 200 total, but over 100 will come from San Francisco by bus to Reading. They'll stay in the Hampton Inn, so they're bringing money here. And it's not just sitting in the seat at the Cascade and listening to people sing. They perform as well, and they bring instrumentation, and the conductor, Dr. Kathleen McGuire, she's from Australia originally. She has many honors from around the world in her conductability. I don't know if that's a real word, but I just made it up.
It's a good one.
Yeah, and she will bring those 100 voices to a rousing welcome for the people of Reading that are coming in the Cascade. So there are still some seats left.
According to your press release, Let There Be Peace on Earth.
That's one of the songs.
I'm sure that'll be a showstopper. Mm-hmm. And Oh Happy Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Fabulous. Tickets are $15.
For members of the Arts Council, seniors 60 and above, and students. And then they go 20, 25, and 30 in the Loge. Still probably very inexpensive for the Cascade.
Well, that's fascinating, and that's the 30th. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else is on the agenda for the Shasta County Arts Council? What tell us what's going on across the street the Old City Hall.
Well, also, just before I go into that, this is a fundraiser for Old City Hall to keep us alive. We're owned by the City of Reading, and, you know, the City of Reading has to do some budget cutting, so we may be part of it. We don't know. But this will help us with our budget. And all of that turns into providing incredible exhibits in our gallery. Right now we have two exhibits, a sculpture person and fine artist. So we invite people to come to Old City Hall Gallery Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 4, and we change our exhibits monthly. And we get artists from around the area, Shasta, Tehama, Trinity, Siskiyou County artists. So we're sort of the cultural center of the North State.
You also have a boutique, so that there is art for sale.
Exactly, yes.
When is the next art walk or art hop?
The art hop is the second Saturday of each month from 6 to 9 at Old City Hall and 40 other businesses in downtown Reading.
Isn't that amazing how that's grown?
It is.
In my 3 years or 4 years of being in Reading, I think that has almost tripled, has it not?
I think so, yes. It's a very wonderful event for people to attend once a month, see art that they've never seen, provide spaces for artists, budding new artists.
Okay, before we go to break, any closing thoughts on for our listeners, mm-hmm, regarding any upcoming things that we need to be aware of?
Well, again, I have to go back to the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus that is coming January 30th, 7:30 at the Cascade. Again, this is a historic event because, hey, we've got the Gay Chorus in January, Sarah Palin in February. Shasta County is wide open for its cultural diversity.
We are diverse in
the
North.
We are diverse.
Yeah.
And so is this show. And that's what we love.
And I want to thank you guys in particular. Hey, folks out there, they're my neighbors, and I want to applaud them for starting this entrepreneurial venture. They really have stepped up, and I actually listen to it so I can get both sides of the story.
Yay! That's our intention.
There you go, Frank. Okay, this is Carl on the Body on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Phone lines here, 605-4567. When we come back, let's take a good look at Stillwater. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Phone lines here, 605-4567. It's 42 degrees. It's raining. It's going to be all the way up to 47 degrees today. Be careful out there. You need change. You go up further north, 244. This weather report was brought to you by Anselmo and Anselmo Vineyards. The place to go. It's a place of choice. We like it there. You'll like it too. Let's go to the phones. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Linda, how are you guys today?
I'm peachy. Linda's running around outside in the studio someplace.
Okay, well, the reason I called this morning, I want to let you and your listeners know that the Reading Tea Party Patriots at their regular meeting tonight, 6 p.m., the Holiday Inn on Hilltop, they're going to be showing a portion of the last city council meeting, which was last Tuesday, that dealt with the city clerk issue. And that issue was changing the position of city clerk's position from elected to appointed. And that would be the appointment of the city clerk by the city council or by the city manager.
And you know, Gary, this can be a confusing thing for people. And I say that because what they're saying is they want the people to vote to ask the people to vote on the question of where the city clerk should remain a elected position.
That's correct.
And it's going to cost how much?
$25,000.
Okay. So instead of just leaving it that position, and the reasoning for the city is to change that from an elected position to an appointed position is?
Well, one of the reasons they're using is 70% of the cities in the state of California have already done that, which to me doesn't make any difference. I mean, we can't affect other cities in the state of California, but we can affect what happens in the city of Reading. And I think that the responsibility of the clerk, two things, keeping the minutes of the meeting, an accurate copy of the minutes, and then also conducting elections should be held within the purview of the elected people. We've got 91,000 people living in the city of Reading. Those 91,000 people have been able to elect their city clerk. Now, what they want to do now is they want to take that right away from the 91,000 people and give it to five people. That's the people that are on the council. And then those five people can also give that responsibility to one person, the city manager. And this doesn't compute with me. I have real problems with taking our rights away from us.
You know, I have yet to hear anybody that has argued for that position of taking away that elected position. You know, and I know what they say. Well, you know, nobody's run for it. It's just been appointed. Nobody ever runs for it. But then nobody has run against David Kehoe in the first district, you know, for supervisor. In the Shasta County. That doesn't mean that it's right. And, no. You know, you've had others that people don't run against the incumbent. It doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean that we don't have the right to do it. If that's the case, then why don't we just appoint the supervisors, too, if nobody's running against them?
Well, that's exactly true. And to me, this is might be a harsh statement, but it's somewhat of a power grab on the part of city staff.
Well, you know, city staff already has enough power. You know, I've heard this from so many members of the city council is that, you know, they give the positions that they want you to vote on and in the way they want you to vote on it. And it's just, you know, the bureaucracy there should be run by people that are elected to the position and not appointed. I mean, you know, nothing against Kurt Starman, nothing against, you know, people that are in these jobs, but it's like this. A thing I heard, too, is they said the city clerk's job is so technical, we need to have somebody that, you know, that could be, you know, that's it can do this job. If that's the case, look at the city council. I mean, you or any other elected position. Does that mean as if they're not ready to take it? If they're not ready to handle that position, they shouldn't be elected to it, that we should just start appointing the city council? And who does that? City manager?
Take a look at this one. We have a county clerk, and we elect the county clerk. We're doing a pretty darn good job there, we the people are. So, no, I don't see the need in it at all. I see this actually as $25,000 being spent on a bad thing, going down the drain, because this isn't going to pass. I mean, I made a prediction before the council that it would go down 65-35. The paper did a small poll, although it's small, but it's still an indication over the weekend, and it came out 78% against it, 17% in favor of it, and 4% and undecided. So you got 78-25. So, I mean, 72-25.
Well, here's the thing is, if they want to have it voted on, why don't they do this? Okay, if it's over a certain percentage, like if it's 65% that think this is a bad idea, why don't you let the city council, who thought it was a great job, pay for the election?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
605-4567. We are taking your calls, and quickly, I do have a traffic alert. Motorists must chain up on Highway 299 from 19 miles west of Reading over Buckhorn Summit to 2.2 miles west of the Shasta Trinity County line. Cars and trucks with four-wheel drive and snow tires on all four wheels can go without chains. Highway 299, motorists towing trailers over Hatchet Mountain Summit must also chain up from Montgomery Creek to 7 miles west of Canby in Modoc County. Those of you can hear us out there. And Highway 44, motorists towing trailers must put on chains 3 miles east of Shingletown over Eskimo Hill to 8 miles west of Old Station. The California Department of Transportation has posted a high wind advisory on Interstate 5 between Weed and Eureka. Caltrans does not recommend campers, trailers, or permit loads on that stretch at this time.
Well, it looks like winter is here. Okay, Gary, any last thoughts here before we have to take this break?
Well, real quickly, you're going to get into Stillwater. And, yeah. and I have a bunch of things to say about Stillwater. But one thing I would like to say right off the top, the city council funded money to put in the second bridge in Stillwater. Second bridge is in phase two. And at this point, the city council has not voted to move forward with phase two. So they're funding phase two, but they haven't moved forward to actually do it. I mean, in other words, they have not had an issue on the council agenda to move forward with phase two. And that puzzles me greatly that's happening. Outside of that, I'll go ahead and hang up and listen to you guys.
Okay, Gary, thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay, that's tonight at the Reading Tea Party. I think it's at the Holiday Inn, that is going to play portions of the city council meeting about taking away our right to select the city clerk by voting. But the way they're going to do that is, I think, you know, and which is confusing, we get to vote to see if we can't vote in the future. Does anybody else see a little thing strange about this? Maybe it's just me. Okay. Now, when we come back, we've already got people lined up on the phones to be talking about Stillwater. So we're going to have to take a quick break. And when we do, we'll come back with Stillwater because there's a lot of questions about it. Do we give away public property? How do we give it away? Once we start giving it away, do we continue with this? Is it a good job? Is it a good idea? Is it not a good idea? And then who's in the middle of all this? Is it the same people's names we see all the time or what? This is Carl Lindebaum on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM. More music. Carl Lindebaum, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Yeah, ring that bell.
Hey, if you want to log on, Bob, is it working in the stream?
The stream appears to be working. Both streams appear to be working, and I kind of like listeners to check on both of them, both the one off the Free Fire website and the livestream.com/Free Fire Radio. They both appear to be working.
Explain.
Free Fire Radio, okay. For the Free Fire Radio, it's working.
We're sending signal up. I don't know. That's why I need listeners to check and see if it's coming down.
So go to our website, freefireradio.com.
And what's the other one?
See if we're on.
livestream.com/freefireradio. So we're actually sending out two different streams.
Okay. Hey, look, let's go to the phones here. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
How are you doing,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, you're on KCNR. He's listening to this
radio. Am I the John that's on?
You're the John that's on KCNR.
First of all, I'd like to say I'm really glad Gary Cadd is in our community and is a watchdog for government accountability. He is protecting the citizens of the city of Reading, even if he isn't currently elected to the city council, and I hope he will be in the future. On top of this, I'd like to quickly say that it's a good thing that the city council voted for the election to find out whether we wanted to elect city council or city clerk or not, because if they hadn't done that, they would have voted to just go ahead and do it. And that would have wound up costing us a lot more than the $25,000 that's going to be spent on the election. We'd have lost a whole lot more if they'd have just voted that the city clerk was going to be appointed from now on.
Well, you know, it's to me, when you start fooling around with, okay, we just lost him. Okay.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you still there, John? Okay.
I am. I'm listening.
It sounded like we lost. Yeah, well, Bob's playing with the phones.
Okay.
Okay. So keep going.
All right, now, Stillwater giveaway. I'm really concerned about this for a lot of reasons, and this is only going to be a brief touching of things today because this is going to blow up.
Good, we want to hear it.
Well, City Council is going to have a behind-the-closed-door, meeting concerning this issue, and I'm sure that the people that are going to be involved are going to be, of course, the City Council, Kent Dagg, Kurt Starman, most of the people on the committee, Les Malberg, and all these names have a reason for me to mention them. They're all on the Radical 10 committee, and they're all also involved with the people that are going to be receiving the free lot. And this giveaway is based on the fact that there's going to be a alleged amount of jobs created by the company. It's a company called SAF, which is Southern Aluminum Finishing.
Right.
And they're going to receive a $1.6 million lot in Stillwater. For this, there's an alleged potential 200 jobs going to be created. And if you can indulge me for a minute, I just wrote something out about this. I said, once upon a time in the future, a company proposes to provide jobs, possibly, maybe, could be, as many as 200, if we give them a $1.6 million lot now. Does that sound like the old Popeye Wimpy routine? I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Well, yeah. And
yeah.
They're saying the 200 jobs, $8 million into the local economy. The question is, do we give away property that the public sold?
Owns.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, owns, bought. If it's going to bring in more business, i.e. more jobs, raise the tax base, and get Stillwater off the ground.
But again, at what point? The company currently has between 8 and 12 employees locally and a total of 204 facilities across the United States. And they're not proposing to consolidate all of those here in Reading. That's not how the 200 are going to be created. It's a expansionary thing in the future, possibly, maybe, could be.
Well, they talked about a $12 million plant on the south side of town that would employ up to 100 people sometime after 2013. But with this, they'd have to start building and have it up in the next year, I believe.
Well, there is also no commitment to immediately increase employment. There's also no time frame nor guarantee that there will be an increase in employment at the their SAFs. And it's all blue sky and BS, if you don't mind my putting that in there. The one guarantee we do have is if the city gives this lot away, a citizen of Reading, away the citizens of Reading, get to pay an as-yet-unnamed real estate person $96,000 commission. That's for giving it away. It's because it's based on the value of the lot, and the real estate broker will still get the commission, $96,000.
You know, another question I had on this thing, too, is why are they having a closed-door meeting on this thing?
That's what I was going to say next. For all is this, we don't even get transparency.
There's a closed-door meeting on this, and, you know, you can't help it. You know what? We're getting tired of these closed-door deals. I mean, you know, you expect it in Washington, D.C., there are a bunch of crooks up there. You don't, and are there politicians up there who really don't care? They got their own agendas. I don't like to see that in Reading. I don't want to see that in Reading. And then when I see there's a closed door deal, I know Jones is against this. And in fact, Patrick Jones is going to be on our guest tomorrow at 8 o'clock on our show here. But we there's too many things that are going on. One, do we need the business? Absolutely. Yes, we need the business. Do we need the jobs? Absolutely.
Are we going to get them?
That's the
not
thing.
Absolutely.
Well, are we going to get the jobs? You know. Ken Murray wrote an article. He had an opinion piece in the paper this weekend. He said, you know, we all have to. You know, we all have to help push Stillwater. You know, talk to your friends. You know, if you've got a business, talk to other businesses to come to our city. Now, I'm all for that part. There are other parts in there I'm not sure of. You know, I mean, the fact is that Stillwater was put together under different auspices. You know, when we had money. At this point, though, we need the jobs, we need the businesses, but is there a guarantee? That's the bottom line. Is there a guarantee?
Well, it's running around willy-nilly and just giving away lots, I don't think, is really the solution to this thing. I mean, it devalues the overall operation. They either can create something out there and they can sell it, or they can't. But giving it away, I don't think, is the answer. And this deal is very odoriferous at best and absolutely stinks at worst.
John, we've got to take a break here if you want to hang on.
Well, I'm just going to say my last thing.
Okay.
Get off, Carl.
All right.
All I got to say is this closed-door meeting involves the people that are on the committee that are all going to benefit from this thing, and it isn't the people of the city of Reading.
Well, like
thanks.
I said, Patrick Jones will be on tomorrow, and this is something we're really going
to
talk about that. You
great.
Bet. Thanks a lot.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening to me.
You
thanks
bet, John.
Quickly,
thanks for calling.
Emergency workers are responding to a single vehicle accident with minor injuries this morning on Highway 299. This just happened at Hillcrest and Montgomery Creek. Initial dispatch report states that local pickup had rolled over with multiple people inside. The accident is blocking the westbound lane of the highway. We got to take a break. This is Carla Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Roberta, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I thanks for this opportunity. I just wanted to call and tell people about our meeting tonight. I know there's a conflict, but there's always conflicts in meetings. We're having a meeting for the for the Shasta County Republican Assembly, and we meet at Shasta Bible College at 6:30. And we're going to have two candidates tonight. We're going to have Randall Faulkner, who's running for auditor, and we're going to have Ron Largent, who's running for assessor. And so that we're going to hear from both those candidates tonight at 6:30 at Shasta Bible College.
And where is that located?
It's on Goodwater. It's off of Hartnell out by Cross Point Church. It's out almost to Airport Road.
Yeah, you just get out there. You can see it. Yeah.
On Goodwater.
All right.
It's right off of Hartnell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roberta, so much for your phone call.
Yeah, thank you for letting me do this.
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Bye.
You know, we have anything from the Tea Party to the California Republican Assembly to the San Francisco Gay Men's Course.
And also the head of the Democratic Party was here too, remember.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Les, good morning.
Hey, Carl, how are you?
Fine.
Hi, Linda.
Good morning.
I know we talked about me coming on your show. I didn't expect it to be this soon.
Well, we want to have you
as a guest, Les.
Well, I'd love to do it anytime. As a matter of fact, the reason I was calling, pursuant to the article in the paper, I fully anticipated that conspiracy theorists would be going crazy, so I thought I'd better call in and try and nip a few things in the bud.
Great.
One of the big problems I saw from the article was the implication that the people that were on the group that Kent Dagg put together were motivated through selfish concerns or the opportunity to gain personally. It was just so laughably off base. For example, I wasn't the one that came up with the idea for giving away a lot in Stillwater in our little group. I don't recall who was, but and to be honest, you know, I've never had anything to do with Stillwater Park and never particularly thought it was a great idea. But nonetheless, I had to agree with, you know, Ken Murray's summation yesterday that regardless of how it got here or what it is, let's all work together and see if we can make something happen. So since I have so many contacts all over the country just through various social events or projects that we work on, I accepted the responsibility of our committee to actually contact some of the manufacturers that I knew personally. And I happen to know Jim McClatchy from SAF, Southern Aluminum Finishing, only because when they first came to Reading, it was at least 2 years ago or so, one of the first things they did was try and find a site, and they interviewed architectural firms to see who would be their architect. And they did not choose our firm. They picked a firm from Sacramento, one of the big firms there. And so I was well aware when I contacted Jim recently, now here a couple years later, I was well aware that they already had architects. It wasn't us. So there was nothing for me to gain personally or my firm. It was just an opportunity to bring some jobs to Reading. And certainly the first jobs we hoped would occur, which is why the suggestion was made in the committee that any project that involved a theoretical, they're calling it a giveaway, but it really isn't because there are specific
elements attached to that agreement that are rather restrictive. But one of the requirements was that any of the construction and material supply would have to be with Reading local firms. So we would hope that the first jobs created would be in construction. But obviously those are temporary jobs. But the other big point about this is the land, quote, giveaway is not really a giveaway. These people are obligated to, under the conditions of the agreement that I've briefly seen mentioned, and I'm not privy to the details because, you know, everyone mentions secret meetings and secret deals, and it's far more open than most people would realize if they just got involved. But the big deal is that if that company, any company, did not perform according to the agreement, for example, they didn't build the project this year, if they didn't hire the number of employees that they were supposed to hire, if they didn't keep those employees for the period of the full length of the agreement or longer, or if they didn't pay people a salary that was in excess of whatever number people come up with as the, quote, living wage. And, again, I'm not sure what that number is. I've heard something like $16.50 an hour.
They said $16.54 minimum for anybody working there.
And SAF pays in excess of that, so that wasn't even a consideration because they're looking for higher caliber people with some training or people that they could train, and they were absolutely adamant that the only people they would hire would be from Reading. They would not bring somebody here. All the people hired would be from Reading. However, if they didn't perform in any of those ways, the full sale of the lot value becomes immediately due.
Okay, that was what I wanted to know. What was the hammer we were holding over their head if they, or whatever business comes in here?
Yeah, it's not a giveaway. It's a quid pro quo. They have to do something for the community, and then the community would forgive certain elements of that loan.
Well, so you're not associated with this in any way except for the fact of being the one that talked to them.
Exactly.
And you're not going to be, you know, if they build the, you know, if they build the factory, you're not getting the architecture thing, all this stuff.
Well, actually, I just got a letter from Jim yesterday. He was upset about the article in the paper, more upset about the comments because there are people saying mean and nasty things when they really don't have all the facts. And he was quite disturbed by it. And he said, actually, Les, since you've helped us so much in the last 6 weeks, we were considering asking you to at least work with the other architects. If that creates a problem in your community, although I can't imagine why, then we won't. But we would hope that the first jobs we create in your community would be all the engineers and architects that need to work on it. Mm-hmm. So there's a potential we could do work. But and I frankly don't understand why people would be upset if a local company did get jobs. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. You know, if people are upset and they think it's unfair that some architects get work, then so be it. You know, we won't do it.
Yeah. Hey, Les, we're going to have to take a break. Can you stay with us?
Sure.
We've got like 6 minutes left here.
Okay.
And then let's take a quick break, and we'll come back to discuss the Stillwater, and you know, and having you on the phone to kind of maybe balance out some of the things that are being said around
sure.
here.
Clear the air.
All right. Carl Lindebaut, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's Carl Lindebaut here on Free Fire Radio. We're taking your call, 605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460. On the phone right now is Les Melberg, and we're talking Stillwater. Les, thank you so much for calling this morning to, I don't know, dispel some negativity, to clear up some things that have been, you know, negatively commented on. You got your fingers in the mix. What else?
Well, you know, one of the things that's troubled me for several weeks now, ever since Kent called me up one day and said, hey, I'm thinking about trying to put together a group of people to brainstorm to come up with some ideas to help our community get new jobs. Would you mind donating, you know, 4 or 5 hours a week for a month? I said, well, no, sure, I'd be happy to help. Well, that's the same phone call other people got. It wasn't anything devious or self-serving. I mean, all the people on that committee showed up and worked hard. We had meetings every week. Many people got tasks that they had to investigate and research. I probably have, at this point, maybe 80 hours in. I think the other people do as well. And, you know, we could easily be sitting at our own jobs making a living, but
Kent asked us to donate time to try to help. And that's all there is to it. People make a big deal out like it's some kind of secret committee. Well, it's not a secret committee. It's just a group of citizens. And to his credit, both Kurt Starman and his assistant, Greg Clark, agreed to join the committee to provide legal oversight in terms of some of the concepts as to whether or not they were even feasible. And Kurt was really helpful in that regard when somebody would come up with an idea and he would say, well, no, there's no mechanism for doing that, or no, cities aren't allowed to do this, blah, blah, blah. But so Kurt was extremely helpful. Hey, but it's been mischaracterized as some secret committee. Why can't the public come? Well, we didn't hold it in a public forum, you know. We just went to Kent's office and sat around a table and marked on a board. You know, I guess it falls in the category of no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah. Hey, Les, one of the things that, you know, is there was some concern that at first it was supposed to be a new firm, but that seems to have gone by, that even though that SAF was here, you know,
well,
they had
know.
Not built anything, so this gets them going faster, from what I understand.
Well, they seem to be making a big deal about whether it was a local firm or not local firm.
Who cares?
And the only reason that firm was not named when I first talked to the council, and again, when I talked to the council, we're just giving ideas to the council. We're not telling them what to do. It's like, hey, we're taking this. Here's a bunch of theories that you could pursue or not, and we don't frankly care one way or the other. We're just trying to help. And we'd welcome ideas from anybody else in the community. We don't think we're anybody special. But when I made the presentation to council, it was with the idea that, hey, you know, here's one theory that could come to reality, because one of the people I contacted is actually interested in taking the next steps of the discussion.
Yeah. Hey, Les, we've got about a minute left. Now, tomorrow our guest will be Patrick Jones. And
yeah, I like Patrick.
Yeah. And Patrick is the only one, I think, that voted against it. So,
well, he's just Patrick is a guy of principle, and he's very firm. I mean, his little lines are very straight, and I respect that in him. That it's a philosophical element.
Well, but he's
going
to be.
I always say, look at both sides of the equation.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
Is bring you both. That we hope that you'll be listening
tomorrow,
and you can call in
right.
tomorrow.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to be in town tomorrow.
Okay.
But, you know, I'd be happy to come on your show anytime.
Yay.
And have people call in. And I think, you know, part of the problem is people only know what they read in the paper. And I'm not going to bash the paper, but let me just say, they don't always tell the whole story.
Well, that's what we try to do, is we try to let both sides out. This is, you know, this is as fair as we can make. And we've got to leave.
Thank you, Les, for your
call. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Just give me a call. I'll show up anytime.
Okay. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.